Amen. 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 I want to thank the musicians and praise team, everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to speak God's word. Amen. Our prayers are with the people that have experienced the hurricane, Harvey, Katia, and Irma. Amen. And I hear Jose may be on the way. Amen. So we definitely send our prayers up for the families and those who may not be able to evacuate. Amen. So we definitely are praying for them. Amen. Amen. I feel much better this Sunday than I did last Sunday. Amen. I know most of you probably didn't even know that I was under the weather. It was one of those 24-hour bugs is what they call it. But it hit me hard Sunday. But I fought through it. Amen. The word still needed to go forth, but I mean, I was laboring. But nevertheless, God pulled me through it. Amen. I didn't even argue with my wife when she tried to get me to take some medicine. I just wanted to just lay there in the bed. Amen. She just gave it to me. I just put it in my mouth and went on about my business. I didn't even put up a fight. She know normally I tell her I don't want to take no medicine. I ain't taking no medicine. Just let it run its course. But I just said, okay, give it to me. Temperature spiked. Amen. Getting hot. And then I was cold. Amen. But nevertheless, God has a word on this Sunday. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. We want to pray for those that are out of town traveling. We had a wonderful time yesterday in the men's ministry. Amen. Minister Wayne Clark came and delivered a message to the guys. Amen. And then it seemed like we had another meeting after, standing outside the front door. I ain't going to talk too much about that, but amen. We had some good old fun. Just guy talk. Amen. I mean, y'all do lady talk. We had guy talk. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. If you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. I just want to talk to you for a moment, and I want to talk about calling those things which be not as though they were. Amen. We need to understand the scripture. We need to understand God. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, we all know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of what? Space, time, matter, all of creation, the existence of all things apart from God himself. How did God accomplish creation? By Jesus Christ were all things made. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, which means that God made something out of nothing. Amen. Before God spoke, there was nothing. This means that with respect to creation, God spoke things that were not as though they were. Amen. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Amen. God created the world and everything in it. He spoke it into existence. The world and all its fullness, the heavens and all their hosts. God spoke, and every plant, every bird, every beast, even human came into being. God created. Amen. God said, and it was so. He spoke, and it was done. Now, there is no billion of years of gaps in between those two. You simply believe the scriptures or you don't. It's just that simple. Amen. You either believe it or you don't. There is nothing but God created, he spoke it, he said it, and that's it. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Okay. Now I said Genesis just to bring you into how God can speak to something and bring it into existence. Okay. This is going to tie into calling those things which be as though they were. Amen. So God's purpose of calling Abraham was to recover man from the sinful situation. All right. Abraham's being chosen by God was for the purpose of recovering man from the sinful situation. God had many things planned for Abraham. I'm so used to saying Abraham, but I'm trying to get to a point. His name was Abraham before it was Abraham. So he laid out the plan. And Abraham took some steps to do what God wanted him to do. He started out. He built altars in various places. He believed God up to a point because in chapter 15, he asks, how shall I know this? What will you give me seeing I go childless? The things God had promised still hadn't materialized. And 24 years had gone by, and Abraham and Sarah were not getting younger. Abraham was already 99, and it didn't look like all of this was going to work out. But as God continued to talk things over with him, it says that he believed God. Romans chapter 4 says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What seemed to make the biggest difference was when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations, have I made thee. Abraham knew that in the importance of a name. Some folks, they just give their child a name. I mean, I don't want to, you know, say much, but, you know, sometimes when you can just about tell what the child's, if it's a girl, you can just about tell what the child's father's name is. If the child's name is Ronisha, you know the daddy's name is probably Ronnie. I'm just being real with y'all. If I can't be real, then let me get down from here and let me go have a seat and then somebody else come up here and be fake. Let's just be real. Y'all know what I'm saying. Amen, somebody. They just give folks names. I mean, don't even, what is the meaning of it? Well, the daddy. Ronisha. Okay? It's not to make fun. No. Hope y'all don't know any of them Ronishas, but if you do, ask her who her daddy is. What's her daddy's name? Abraham knew the importance of names. Okay, in the Bible, when you have a name, it was attached to you for a specific purpose. There was a reason given to you. Okay? It implies a significance. You know, think about it. Abraham was like a high father. This man walking around with the name Abraham ain't got no kids. His name meant father. He don't have any kids. Imagine people saying, hold up, man, your name means father, but you ain't got no children. You know, people will do that to you. You know, so therefore, you know, and God comes to him and God says that this is what's going to happen. His wife laughed. Like, yeah, really? Here it is. I'm well up in age. My womb is dead. There is no possible way that we can have a child. Not me. Sometimes we think these Bible characters believe just like that. But that is not true. Not everybody believed just like that. There is some time that has passed, then they believe, but not everybody believed at that moment. Just so you understand, they're human just like us. They're just not characters in the story. They are human beings, and this took place, this happened, and God is trying to tell you that not everybody believed just like that. Abraham had a promise in the spiritual realm. 24 years early, but it had not happened yet in the physical. So how does he get it from the promise into the here and now? In Genesis 21 and 5, Abraham was about 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Another verse says in Genesis 18 and 14, is there anything too hard for God? Abraham and Sarah learned how to walk in God's promises. That's one of the things God wants us to learn, is how to walk in his promises. Abraham received the promise in the spiritual realm before he saw them in the natural realm. See, they were good promises, but he didn't have the sheep in the pen and the cattle in the field. He didn't see the promised son. He couldn't pick his son up before it was manifest. In the New Testament, in Romans 4, we see, he called those things, be not as though they were. Abraham had the promise, but it was way out there somewhere. He hadn't received it yet in the natural. You have to believe it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Something may be prophesied to you today. The problem with us is if we do not see it manifest right now, we get an attitude, we get upset, and we want to label somebody as a false prophet. Or we want to say, I don't believe God's word. It ain't happened yet. Well, your attitude in speaking will not make it come faster. Amen? So we have to understand that there are things that will happen at its appointed time. And when it happens, it will happen. It ain't going to happen because you got an attitude. Amen? That's not the way that works. I mean, I tried that and I pouted when I was growing up. But my attitude did not get me what I want. It got me what I wasn't expecting. Amen? That's what happens when you get an attitude. So the verse in Romans tells us, he called it already done. So I'm calling it as if it were already done. Y'all understand that? There are a lot of promises in the Bible that God intends for us, but we don't grab hold of them either because we think that they are not for us. We doubt and think it's impossible. Think it might not be God's will or some other reason. There are all kinds of healing scriptures that we don't take hold of. People say it is what it is. My back is hurting. It is what it is. But that's not what the word of God said. But that's what you're saying. It is what it is. Okay, then it's going to be is what it is. You're speaking this to yourself. Now you see why the pastor's work is hard. Because you have to constantly fight those words that people are putting out there. Amen? So how do we get the scriptures to work for us? The word of God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. By his stripes ye are healed. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? This is what the scripture says. So how do we get this scripture to work for us? We have to activate our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and things not seen. Faith puts the substance to promise on healing or finances or a job. Y'all follow me? Faith activated calls those things that be not into being or replaces what needs to be replaced. So how do you get your faith activated? Faith is activated by speaking. I know it don't look like it, but speak it. Don't speak it the other way. It is what it is. That's not the faith that I'm talking about. I ain't saying that. I'm saying speak what God's word speaks. You want to know why things comes faster for others and why things work better for others? It's because they chose to speak the faith. You chose not to. That's the difference. So, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, be thou removed. If this mountain is in your way from doing God's work, it will be removed. Y'all follow me? So don't just go out there to a mountain and say, move. That's not how the scripture works. All right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? You just can't go up there to the mountain and spell for, you know, the Mount Everest to move. It's not going to work. It ain't working. No. If there is a problem in your way, that is a mountain. If it's preventing you from doing God's will, you can say remove and it will remove itself. Why? Because it is standing between you and accomplishing God's will. Now, if you got a selfish desire, a selfish will, and you want it removed just because you want to see something, it ain't going to happen like that. One thing I like about God doesn't wait until something happens to call it done. God considers a thing done once he speaks. Y'all believe that? He considers a thing done when he speaks. He calls the end from the beginning. And if he considers it done, so should you and I. I know what it looks like. I know I see it. But I'm calling it like God calls it. Because you have to understand that when you speak it, there is something happening to the situation. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You may not see it right now, but it is moving. You have just activated it. So you have to believe that. The problem people have is that you're speaking contrary to what is seen. You only consider what you are looking at. So when I'm looking at, then I'm like, well, it's still there. I don't know. It's just not. Take a deep breath. I'm trying. The attitude. You got to lose the attitude. Okay? That's the first step. Before we can work with you, you got to lose the attitude. I mean, have y'all ever tried to talk to somebody that got attitude? I mean, they giving you attitude. You can't talk to them. I mean, you try to talk to somebody who's got attitude. First of all, let's start over. Okay, you got to lose the attitude, and then we can talk. Because you're not going to receive anything that I say to you. But faith goes beyond the senses and considers what God says over what their senses tell them. And faith, when released out of your mouth, will bring into manifestation what it was released for. Amen? It is the substance of things hoped for, like in the beginning it was through faith that the world were framed by the word of God. And faith will still create in this physical world. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, a mustard seed, because a seed works to create what you sow for, and faith creates what you release it to. A seed has to be released out of the ground for it to produce. If it stays in the earth, it would never produce. Amen? Likewise, your faith has to be released. You can't keep it. You have to let it go. You have to release it. If it's going to produce something in this physical world, you have to let it go. So let your faith out and let it create. Now, I understand. We're humans. I get that. I am too, remember? I'm not just a pastor. So don't think that I'm always operating underneath as a pastor, meaning that I'm this holier than thou person. No, I act silly at times. I do some stuff, man. I mean, I can act the fool too. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm human. Don't you think God knows that? Jesus came into human form to let us know that I know both sides. So what I'm saying is I understand how we can operate, and we think that, okay, well, you know, I miss it sometimes, and sometimes I want to be there with you. I'm trying to understand it. I understand that too. Sometimes things are not clear to me. You got to be real. If pastors are not real with you, then there's a problem. Calling things that be not as though they were is a principle in the Bible that a lot of people don't understand. And the reason people don't understand is because people only consider what they can pick up with their senses as being real. Some people are the type of, I mean, seriously, if I said to you all, listen to what I'm saying this, listen very carefully. If I said to you there's a lion on the other side of that door, you ain't got to tell me, I'm calling somebody to get that thing out of there. But there are some of us in here that would go, I just want to see. Hold on. And I said, it's on the other side of the door. As soon as you open the door, it's going to come in. There's somebody in here. I ain't saying no names. Lord knows I ain't saying nobody's name. But I guarantee you, they would go and open that door. And then all of us would be in trouble. Maybe. Depends on how close you are to the door. But my point is, there are some people who's going to push it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Some people that's going to push it. But you have to understand, people operate in that. They got to see it. They can't look beyond that. Now when they see it, oh God, there is a lion. He's on top of you now. I'll be like, yeah, it is. Humans are spiritual creatures, But we are sometimes forgetful of the spiritual realm unseen by the human eye. We forget that. We forget it. There is a realm more real and eternal than the life here on earth. Okay? There is a spiritual realm that is just as real that you can't see as this realm you can see. Okay? The Bible says that the spiritual realm consists of both good, okay, and evil. God and the holy angels and the evil of the devil and his demons. Amen. The Bible also teaches that humans were created by God in his image. So if we were created by God in his image, then what does that tell you if God is spiritual? Y'all see what I'm saying? So there is a, whether you believe it or not, doesn't stop it. Okay? Doesn't stop it. So in other words, what, here's what I'm trying to say. Okay? So God, if we're created in God's image, which means we have a spiritual component. Amen? We are more than physical entities. We possess a soul, spirit, destined for eternity. Amen. Even though the spiritual realm is invisible to the physical eye, we are connected to it. And what goes on in the spiritual realm directly affects our physical world. Amen. 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 Y'all understand that? Amen. Okay. The best testimonial evidence for a spiritual realm is the belief, is the Bible itself. Jesus claimed to be God's son, the one who came down from heaven. Jesus made this fact clear. He says, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. You can pick that up in John chapter 8 and 23. Verify for yourself. He's letting you know that there is more than just this. Okay? There is a spiritual realm. So that's why I preach hard to tell you that you have a decision that you need to make. And that decision is, are you going to be with the Lord or are you going to be with Satan? If you do not choose the Lord, you default to Satan. It's just that simple. I gave this analogy before, and it's worth giving again at this particular point. When I was at my computer, I pressed print. I went to the computer, and to the printer, and I said, man, somebody got my stuff. So I went back to the computer. I hit print again. Went there too, and I was like, okay, hold up. Somebody got my stuff. But you know what was happening? I didn't choose that printer. When I hit print, it defaulted to where it's set up for. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So in order for me to print there, I had to take my time and say, hold up now. Before I start accusing somebody for taking my stuff, let me examine myself first. Let me look and see what I'm doing wrong. Because obviously I'm not doing something right if I'm not going here. I can want to go there, but ain't no documents. Ain't no paperwork on me. So I went back to the computer and I said, oh, I'm going to select this. So I went, I said, oh, I got you this time. And I hit print. And I went, I said, oh, yeah, it's there. I knew it was there. I wasn't ready to accuse anybody at this point because now I know I made the right choice. And you know what? When I got there, I could hear it coming out. So what I'm saying is you got to choose. If you don't choose Christ, and if you say, and if you act like, well, you know, trying to be, all right, man, don't be cool about it. Say, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. Because the scripture also says that if you be ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So you got to make a choice. So we need to understand there is a spiritual realm. Okay? Jesus made it clear. The Bible recounts numerous encounters that people had with the spiritual realm. Jesus cast demons out of people regularly. Why would he cast people out, demons out, if there's no spiritual realm? Obviously, there's a spiritual realm if he's casting demons out. Amen. I'm getting somewhere here. I just want y'all to understand something here for a moment. You know, we got a lot of behavioral health places. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people walking around with demonic spirits. You cannot medicate a spirit. I mean, come on, man. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get rid of some of these behavioral health, let these spiritual people go in there and start praying and casting. That's how you're going to get them out. You ain't going to go. They're acting a fool. Give me some medication. Hurry up. You going to take this. Put this in the IV. No. And then they sitting there like. No. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not trying to be funny. Please believe me. But you know what that devil does? Oh, they just knocked him out. Let me go find somebody else. He steps into somebody else that does not have Christ. So now this person is walking around acting a fool. You got to cast it out. All he's going to do, that medication is just put that body at rest. It is not touching that spirit. The only thing that's going to touch that spirit is the word of God. Y'all got to believe that. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the CEO says. I'm telling y'all, this is what's going to cast it out. That's why you see the reason why these facilities are getting enlarged in itself, because we are ignorant to the fact that this demonic spirit is getting stronger. And it's possessing more people. You probably got more behavioral health buildings than you got churches. Oh, we just need more facilities. No, you don't. They need Christ. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is a spiritual realm. Jesus cast out demons regularly. Not only that, he healed the sick. He did miracles. Not only that, watch this. He also spoke to the dead, Moses and Elijah. So if Jesus has done all of this, I'm trying to get you to understand there is a spiritual realm. Let me say this. How is it that someone, let me use this for an example. We have a prophet in the house. How is it that someone who doesn't know you, who can speak a word of God to you, can tell you what you've done, and can tell you some things about your life that only you and God knows? Where did that person get it from? I didn't tell them. I didn't know that about you. There is a spiritual realm, people. Come on now. Where is this person getting it from? Oh, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. Not if it happens too many times. Come on now. Remember this, Elijah and his servant, when the Syrian army had them surrounded. The man of God servant came out and saw the army that had them surrounded, and he panicked. But the man of God came out and said, "Fear not, there is more that be with us than be with them." In other words, he tapped into the spiritual realm. He said, "I'm not going to look at what I'm seeing, but I'm going to look at what people are not seeing." Y'all have to understand this. You have to believe it. If something, let me tell you something. Years ago, I'm going to say about 20-some years ago, I had a person to tell me, "Oh, Ronnie, you know, I'm going to tell you like this, man. We need to, I'm typing on my resignation, because I'm telling you, they're not going to keep this business. We're going to lose it," and all this type of stuff. This is what people was telling me, you know, this one particular person. And y'all know 20 years later, I'm still on the job. That person resigned because they thought that it was going to fold up. They thought it was going to go away. But 20 years later, here it is. I'm still standing. Thank God I don't listen to just anybody. I listen to God. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what folks will make you do. Folks will tell you stuff and be like, hey, I'm telling you, man, it don't look good. Woo! It don't look good. Did you hear what the news is going on? Man, I'm telling you. I'm like this. Yeah, I heard it, but I'm going to put my trust in God. Now, I know that's good sermon. That's good message right here. I mean, but you got to walk this too. 20 years later, I'm still on the job, still working. This person is gone. Could have kept their job. Could have been in a nice position. But they chose to leave based on what they were looking at. I chose to stay based on what I wasn't looking at. I wasn't looking at the situation. I was looking at my Heavenly Father. And I'm going to tell you something. At that time, 20 years ago, I was just getting started. So you can't say, well, you were seasoned Christian. No, I wasn't. No, I was just getting started. Amen? Amen. Now, the Shunammite woman. The woman is described as I'm just telling you how people look into the spiritual realm. Described as a wealthy married woman. She had no child. This woman got permission from her husband to get to set up a guest room for Elijah, the prophet, who was traveling through. Amen. Y'all remember that? Elijah often passed away, you know, during his travel. So this lady thought enough to bless the man of God, have a place for him to stay. So Elijah said to his servant, he said, this lady has been kind. Ask this lady, ask her, what do she want? You know, and he went to her and asked the lady what she wanted and came back and basically he said, you know, nothing. He said, oh, yeah, there is something she wants. She don't have no children. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In 2 Kings chapter 4 and 16, and he said about this time. So he said he's going to bless her. He's going to pray to God. He's going to bless this woman with a child. So he said about this time, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie unto me. She was saying, don't play with me, man. All right. That was important. Back then, if a woman didn't have a child, that was kind of like a humiliation, okay? Y'all understand this. And she telling him, man of God is praying. She said, hold up, man. Hold up now. I've been nice to you, but don't play now. That's sensitive. I want a child. You know, come on. But don't lie to me. You know, bless me. So the prophecy was fulfilled and the woman had a child, but the story was not over. Several years later, the child came down with some kind of sickness and the child died that same day in his mother's lap. She immediately left to find the man of God and asked him to come heal her son. Elijah came back with the woman, okay? Now, he went into the house and here's the sum of that story. He laid hands on his child. The child rose up, and the child was alive again. This Shunammite woman, heartfelt hospitality to Elijah, was so sincere, and by faith, she believed that this man of God, who is connected to God, amen, who can give a word from God, she believed that this man of God can help her son come alive again. Faith. She, in other words, by faith, tapped into spiritual realm. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have to know for yourself that there is a spiritual realm. And the man of God did raise her child from the dead. She could have broke down and cried, why me, God? But she chose to tap into something that was just as real, if not more real, than her circumstances. When a person is reading, listen to what I'm saying here. When a person is reading the scripture, God will make a particular scripture come alive. Y'all follow me? He will make it come alive. It will be almost as though it leaps off the page into your heart, and there is an instant faith for that promise. Y'all ever read a scripture that just leaped off the page and it just came and it just grabbed hold of you? It may happen in the time of prayer where God gives you a particular promise, but be assured when God gives you a promise, it is sure. God said he's going to bless her with a son. He said he's going to bless her with a son and then kill a son. Say he's going to bless her with a son. See, here's the thing. When God gives a promise, he's in control. When you select the promise, you're in control. That's a big difference. Let God be in control. But see, when you're in control, then it's a whole different story. There is never an instant in Scripture where a man decrees something just because he wants it and always has it to come to pass. The only time a decree is made is really made not by, let me say this, a regular man, but it's made by a king. And that's when that king, when he makes a decree, he gets what he wants. But I'm just talking about a regular person. Not a king, a regular person. Most of the decrees were not given, or that were given, are not in the Old Testament, and has to do with the laws by kings. Listen to me. The word is used only once in the New Testament. That there again, it was an emperor. It is only God that can decree and have it always come to pass. When God speaks something, it will come to pass. See, here's the thing. As a part of a human race, we can decide when we shall have something. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Like a new car, for example. We're more familiar with that. We will look at new cars and decide what we want. Okay? We decide on the color, everything else that comes with it, the bells and whistles. Eventually, if we lust after it long enough, we will buy it. And all the payments, okay? Did we decree it? Yes, we did. We said we're going to have it, but it was not guaranteed that all of the odds we would possess the vehicle, okay? Did God give it to us? He may have, but he seldomly adds, listen, the payments. Y'all follow me? Now, you can say God gave it to you, but you're making the payments. God want to bless you with something. God be like, I'm going to bless you with this, but guess what? I'm going to wipe out the payments. Y'all follow me? See, you decree something, but yet you are paying for it. But when God decree it, trust me, just like, listen to what I'm saying here. When Jonah got on that ship, did Jonah pay his fare? If God was sending him in that direction, when Jonah got there, it would have been paid for. You want to know why I'm saying this? Because you have to understand, God is Lord of Lords, right? What does Lord mean? Landlord, huh? He owns everything. What is a landlord? A landlord owns everything. So all he got to do is say it and it's done. I was a landlord. If I wanted to raise the rent, I could raise the rent. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I was in control of the land. So what I'm saying is what I say goes. You got to get permission from me. You got to seek out the landlord. So the Lord, he's the landlord. So I wanted to make sure you understand that point. However, when God gives a promise, you can take it to the bank. The promise will be fulfilled. It may not happen immediately. This is where we got to get away from that. It can, but it may not. I'm trying to get you to understand. If it doesn't happen immediately, understand that it's in work. It's in progress. Amen? I mean, I'm trying to tell you that, you know, I was encouraging a lady on the job. I was telling her that, hey, listen to me. It may not happen immediately, but rest assured, it will happen. I was telling her that I put in a recommendation for her to be promoted. I went to her boss and I said, hey, man, you need to promote her. And I explained to him. And then so she wasn't seeing the results of it. But I told her, I said, be patient. Allow it to take place. I said, we just finished the year-end evaluation. The next time you can get a promotion is during mid-year. I said, so wait till mid-year and wait and watch that promotion come. Mid-year came, she got a promotion. She left me a message. I was on vacation, thanking me for recommending her for a promotion. No, thank God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Thanking me for the promotion. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is just like her. It didn't happen immediately, but it did happen. Now she just got to do the work. So what I'm saying here, a name is something to be proud of. When God, watch this. When God changed Abraham's name and gave him a new name, it was usually to establish a new identity. Amen? You know, ladies, when you get married, you change your name. It's to establish a new identity now. You had your parents' last name. Now you got your husband's last name. You follow me? Now you have a new identity. In other words, you're mine. Amen? So it established a new identity. So here's the thing. God wanted Abraham to live up to his new name. So Abraham wanted children, right? He wanted children, okay? So what God did, God promised Abraham descendants. God changed Abraham's name, causing Abraham to say, I am a father of multitude. Every time he said his own name, listen, every time he said his own name, even though it was clearly evident that he did not have any children, God caused Abraham to literally cause those things that be not as though they were every time he said his own name. So every time Abraham said his name, he was causing those things that be not though they were, as though they are. Because God, let me tell you something. God has a way. When you think you can be as stubborn as you want to be, but God has a way. Oh, yes, you will do it. In other words, God said, Abraham, I'm going to get you to believe in yourself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to say your name. Because a name means something. So Abraham, say your name. Every time you said your name, you were speaking that thing. So this is what God does for us. God's saying every time you say it, you're speaking it. God said, I'm going to show you how to, in other words, God said, just for a moment, I'm going to show you how to be me. So every time you speak, Abraham, that's going to manifest itself. And what it's going to do is going to bring about what I've said will come about. So God had a lesson for him. Abraham, I have given you a promise of many children. I am Almighty God. In other words, God said, trust in me and I will do the impossible. Claim the name, Abraham. Just claim the name. Sometimes people be stubborn. They don't want to change the name. They're so comfortable. God said, claim the name, Abraham. Live up to your new name, and you will see that I will live up to mine. God is saying, you claim the name. You do your part, I'm going to do my part. God is saying, I'm going to show you. Just like God changed Jacob's name to Israel, having power with God. He changed Simon's name to Peter, meaning rock. Why did Jesus occasionally, listen to, I'm telling you, this is the reason why you're called a name. Even when God called the children of Israel stiff-necked, what? Generation. You want to know why? Because they were. So when God gives you a name, trust me, it fits. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It ain't no different than when we growing up. When you call somebody a name, it just wait and see. You understand why they call them cornbread. Y'all know. Come on now. You understand why they call them cornbread. You see why they call them sugar man. Oh, let me stop. Lord have mercy. Okay, where was I at? Okay. So why did Jesus occasionally call Peter Simon after he had changed his name to Peter? Okay, probably because Simon sometimes acted like his old self. Instead of the rock God called him to be. So God's like, okay, you acting like yourself, so I'm going to call you what you're acting like. Lord, I need to move on from that one because you don't want to be called what you're acting like. Amen? Woo! Yes, Lord, you don't want to be called that. So he tried to talk Jesus out of going. Remember, Peter tried to talk Jesus out of going to Jerusalem. Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan. Simon, you're making too much noise. You're full of, in other words, hot air. Simon promised Jesus at the Last Supper that he wouldn't forsake him. Didn't he not say that? Though everybody else would. Simon made a big noise, yet he denied knowing Jesus three times. He lived up to his name. So we see a change in Simon when Jesus changed his name to Peter. After the resurrection of Jesus, Peter took charge of the frightened and faltered disciples. Okay? Peter fearlessly preached the news of the resurrection on the streets of Jerusalem for everyone to hear. Peter was a leader in the early church. In other words, he was a missionary. Okay? The same is true for Jacob. God continued to call him Jacob to remind him of his past and to remind him to depend on God's strength. Jacob kept depending on himself. So instead of being called Israel, he was being called Jacob because he kept reflecting back to himself. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, God knows what it means with the name. God tries to get us to say the name. This is why it's important for us to say the name of Jesus. It's to let people know and let the devil know, especially whose side you on. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm saying this, but if you don't hear a preacher talking about Jesus and they never mention Jesus, I question what they're teaching. Because you can't help but see Jesus throughout the scriptures. I question that. So, what do you want to see happen in your life, your family, your friends' lives? What are you declaring today? What are you saying and confessing? Start declaring the end from the beginning. Start saying that you want to happen instead of confessing your circumstances, then you'll see changes in your life. Start praying the solution instead of praying the problem. Believing in your heart that God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to answer prayers. He already knows the problem. He already understands. So pour out your heart to him and declare his word. God's word will not return to him void. His word goes out. And God's word goes out, and it will accomplish what it has been set out to do. And then once it has accomplished what it has been set out to do, then it comes back to God. Yeah, let me put it to you this. Since you may not understand this because it's spiritual, but let me put it to you in the natural. When I tell my son or my daughter, whichever one, when I tell her, my daughter, to go and get your brother, that's my word. Okay, it's going forth. So my word has now been, it's gone forth. My daughter has it. Now she's carrying it. Now she's taking the word that the daddy has spoken to her brother. Now she speaks the word. My word is now telling the son, her brother, what needs to be done. So now he hears the word. Okay, now she comes back to me. Now, watch the word. The word sent forth for him to come. Now you see him coming around the corner, coming to his daddy, because my word has now went forth to tell him to come here. My word will accomplish what it has set out to do.
That's what you have to understand, how God word works. It's going to go there. Now, the one thing I will tell you, if my word went out there and he doesn't heed to the word, now there is something coming behind the word. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's something coming behind the word. And I'll decide if he gives grace and mercy. Now, I'll decide that. But I'm telling you, there is something coming behind the word. But thanks be to God that he came. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Through a messenger. Amen. Thank God that she listened and did what exactly she was told to do. Sometimes she want to add a little bit to it. So in other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand is start speaking life. Start speaking life over your body, your finances, your family, your children. Stop speaking about your circumstances, you know, and what they look like. Start speaking what God's word says about your situation. Fill your mind with living, breathing, active word of God so that your mind has a firm foundation. God promised that we would have the same blessing as Abraham. Abraham literally declared he was a father of multitude every time he said his own name. And he had to ask his friends to say his name as well. In other words, let me hear what you're saying. Name means something. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We got to understand that name means something. Abraham did not have faith in something he wanted on his own. He had faith in what God wanted for him. God chose Abraham, not the other way around. And because God gave Abraham that word from God, Abraham was able to call those things which not as though they were. Simply because God had the promise. Amen. God had the promise. God had the promise. Abraham believed God in such a way, even though in the present physical condition, there was no heir to the promise. He believed God anyway. We have to understand and we have to believe God despite how it looks to us. Amen. We may not see it. You know, when we started off on this journey, y'all know we had this roof problem. I didn't know how we were going to pay for it. I didn't know what we was going to do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, but I tried not to, you know, get up here and be like, oh, God. Oh, we're going to have to move. We're going to have to do something. You know, I didn't act like that. Imagine your leader up here saying, well, I'm just like you. Yeah, what we going to do? I don't know. I mean, it's pouring down on me. I need an umbrella. Give me an umbrella. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I could have been just as boisterous of my opinion just like you were. But you know what? I had to tap into a different source. I could have tapped into that negative source and said, whoa. I mean, literally, y'all remember, well, those who was out here, we were walking in water. You know, splashing. Stop splashing me. But we were walking in water. I mean, we had a puddle back there. We used shovels to get the water out. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It was poor. They told us when the fire department came out, they said, we shutting this down. We shutting this down, and thank God that we have people that have the gift of talking. Amen? Oh, did my hand cut that finger? Y'all know it's not good to point. I mean, she was in that fireman's ear. Was talking and talking and talking, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yes. We needed help. Thanks be to God, we got this fixed. Thanks be to God, we're working on this one. That one is going to be fixed. What I'm saying is that you have to understand God is not dealing with numbers here. God is saying, all I need is just some faithful people. I just need some people who will humble themselves. I just need some people who will call by my name, just call on me, and so I can open up a blessing for you. God is just looking for some faithful people. That's all he wants. Sometimes we look at numbers. Sometimes we say, oh, man, we got a packed house in here. Oh, man, God is really working, right? He's really moving. Mm-mm. All he said, two or three. All I need is two or three. God is basically saying, I can whoop you with two or three. Because with two or three, God has said, I'm the majority, not you. God has said, I can whoop you with my hands behind my back. All I need is somebody to call on my name. God is saying there is a spiritual realm that we need to tap into, that we need to call upon. I understand you don't see it like you see it right now, but there is a spiritual realm that is active and it is working. It is real, just as real as you sitting there. You need to understand, for you not believing that there is a spiritual realm, it is steady kicking you in your behind. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all need to acknowledge that there is a spiritual realm. You can't continue to do wrong and expect right to come out of it. You got to, but the Bible says turn. Y'all listen to all this peace they talking about in the streets. Everybody, they talking about peace. We need peace. We need peace. Let me tell you something. God said, if my people who are called by my name, I ain't heard anybody say that yet. That's the reason why we have no peace. But I'm telling you today, you hear God's voice. God has told you something to do. It may not look pleasing. It may not look right. But if God told you to do it, if I were you, I would do it. See, one thing I'm going to tell you about me and the Lord, God does not have to do something devastating to get my attention. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just saying. It's a wake-up call to America. God does not have to do something devastating to get my attention. All God has to do is speak and call my name. I'm like, here am I, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But there's other people. You know, they're like, I escaped that. I had people that come here and say, oh, man, I was in the ICU, I almost died. Man, I got out of there. You know, I said I was coming to church, and they came one time. And ain't been back. I almost died. Went to prison. I mean, went to jail. I went to the prison to minister to them. And I'm like here, and I'm already saying to myself, I know I'm wasting my time. But I'm ministering to this person in jail. Sitting behind this booth, they behind this booth. Oh, I'm for real, Pastor. I'm for real, Pastor. When I come out, ooh-wee, Pastor. I'm for real. When I come out this time, I'm going to be there. I ain't seen them since. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I went up there, took time away from my family, ministering to this person, talking to them several weeks, months. And as soon as they say they will get out, they're going to be here at church. And they serious about it. Haven't seen them in years. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God warns everybody. Some of us take heed to the warning. Some of us just say we're going to ride it out. But I pray for you who have that mindset. I pray that if God says something to you, that you will listen to it. And know this, that if God spoke something into your life, know that God can bring it to pass. Because if God made the promise, it's going to come to pass. Now, if you made the promise, it's subject not to come to pass. But if God said it, believe it. Amen. Amen. At this time, we open up the doors of the church.